Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's clean, O-R-I-G-I-N.com, code RADIO10.
What's going on here?
The weekend.
The weekend.
Friday.
For most people, Friday is just a day before the weekend.
I can't wait to the end of the week when I rap it to the rhythm of a groovy beat.
It is Friday, right?
Better out for dinner on a Friday night.
I'm hosting a party on Friday.
Friday, Saturday, Saturday to Sunday.
What about Friday?
Oh, party already is Friday.
What's today?
Friday.
We got engaged on a Friday night.
Friday, 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 Friday.
Now, from the Bob and Sherry Studios on this Friday, it's Bob and Sherry.
Okay, I'm going to tell you a real-life scenario and how one man dealt with it. You tell me what you would do, okay? And you have to be honest. An older guy in Central Michigan named Howard Kirby recently paid $70 for an old couch, and it was at a second-hand store, and he set it up in his man cave. Then a few weeks later, he noticed that one of the cushions on the couch had a lump in it. So his daughter opened it up, and inside was a small fireproof safe filled with $43,000. His first thought was he could pay off the rest of his house, have a nice chunk for his retirement. He even talked to a lawyer who said he was legally allowed to keep it, but it did not feel right to him. And so he got in touch with the store, and they tracked down the family that dropped it off. It turned out they donated it after their grandfather passed away, and they had no idea he was stashing cash in it. Howard surprised them with the money just a few days ago, and they were blown away. He credits his faith for leading him in the right direction, adding that even though he legally could have kept it, quote, the lawful thing is not always the moral thing. So what do you think?
I think he did the right thing.
I do too.
It would, the temptation to keep it.
It'd be so big, especially if you were struggling.
But
so big.
All I would be able to think about is, what kind of person would have money hidden in their couch and an image of my grandmother would float in front of my eyes
right away.
I would have to turn the money in?
Yeah.
Because that's who, that and drug dealers.
Right.
Those are your two categories. But I don't see drug dealers bringing a couch to a secondhand shop, which brings me back to grandma.
You know, it's just kind of a cliche that older people, especially back in the day, would do something like this. Either they didn't trust banks. In some cases, women had running away money in Maxwell House coffee cans that they literally buried in the backyard. I actually know someone whose mother was very, very suspicious of the man that she was married to. And he worked. She did not work. But she'd cash his paycheck. And every week, she'd take a little out and jam it into the Maxwell House and then go out in the backyard. And she knew where the holes were, and down it went. So I think they stayed together until he died. But if he had gone the wrong way with her, she was going out there doing some digging. And I think my friend said it was over $10,000.
Well, over a long marriage,
yeah,
little bit here, a little bit there, you can maybe get to that.
Yeah.
You know, sitting here, I haven't thought about this in a million years, but when I was little, I would... my parents would ship me back east and I would spend the summer with my grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
This is before my mom and dad split up and I went to live with my grandmother full time. And so I was like maybe 9 years old,
mm-hmm,
and sitting there with her in the kitchen eating Fruit Loops. And she said to me, honey, I'm going to teach you something about life. When you get your table money every week, set some aside for yourself. That's your money. Here's the thing.
Table money.
Here's the thing. I ain't never gotten any table money from nobody know-how.
Right.
I have to go out and earn my own money.
Yeah.
The idea, like she was teaching me what you're describing. You got to have a little slush fund just
for yourself.
You have
to have something to take care of yourself, right?
Because you never know.
You never know. And if you just are dependent on a man, What are you going to do? How are you going to set up an apartment? How are you going to get along for, when you first go out there?
And I haven't thought about that. I've never heard anybody else use that phrase, table
money. I have never heard that. No.
That was like the grocery money. Because my grandmother, when she was a new bride, she worked at a chocolate factory in Philly. She worked as a school crossing guard. Like, she worked. And then once my pup came home from his first stint at sea and they began having their own children, then she was a stay-at-home mom and wife for the rest of her life. And so I guess her table money was the grocery budget or whatever.
And she'd just skim a little.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. She skimmed from other accounts, too. She had quite an operation.
I think it was a thing. Especially like in the 1950s and 60s when a lot of women did not work. You know, they were like powerless if they didn't have a little something.
If they didn't skim the cash.
$43,000. I mean, that is a stupid thing to do.
But he did have it in a safe.
In a safe, yeah.
I mean, it wasn't just wadded up in the cushion.
Yeah, but I mean, the family wasn't told about it or anything.
You know why? Because when he died, he wasn't expecting to die.
Yeah.
He thought he had more time to get all that stuff in order.
And that's the stupidity, because you just never know.
You just never know.
I found a wallet with $1,800 in it. And I turned it into the police.
It's the right thing.
I remember I looked at the man's driver's license, and I can still remember his name, Mr. Dumas, or as the police called him, Mr. Dumbass.
It's the right thing.
It is.
You may be returning like criminal money to a criminal, or you may be returning Meemaw's life savings. You just don't know.
Yeah.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to bobandsherry.com.
Guys, we have to talk to Liz. Sherry, she's just like your mom. So Liz, I'm assuming you're also emotionally distant with a fetish for the singer Pitbull.
I'm more of the cleaning fetish type person.
Okay, you've got the obsessive cleaning. Gotcha.
Now, how does that manifest in your life, Liz?
Well, let me explain. I have always been kind of, my son calls me a minimalist. It's one of the nicer things he refers to me as. But I can't stand, I actually can take a little bit of dirt, but I can't stand clutter. It makes me crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So my mom passed away last April, and we had to clean my parents' home. And that was a kickstart for myself and my siblings to, oh my God, let's not do this to anybody else. There was a lot of stuff. My dad grew up in the Depression, so they didn't throw anything away. And if they had one of something, they had 200. But I heard Bob talking about cleaning out and having empty spaces.
Yes.
I have empty shelves and drawers and cupboards. And I can't stop looking at them. I just can't stop looking at them.
Bob does that when he cleans something. He'll clean something, and then he'll pour himself. He'll wait till like 6 p.m., pour himself a drink, and then go admire the litter box or the garage or the bathroom or whatever it is.
Liz, let me see how close you are to me. How do you react when you hear the word junk drawer?
It makes me shake.
Thank you. I cleaned out while my wife was at work. We have 3 or 4 drawers in the kitchen, and there's everything under the sun. I think her perfume is in there. You mean, it's nuts. And I went to Bed Bath & Beyond, and I got some of those things for lining, you know, drawers. And I threw away all of the broken stuff, all of the stuff, batteries that, you know, probably are dead. And everything was lined up so beautifully, and I didn't say a word to her. And then when she was making dinner that night, she opened it up and went, and the words came out of her mouth.
But where's my junk drawer?
I said, you don't need one.
Yep. It makes my husband very nervous, because if he knows I'm cleaning, there's not a doubt that there's going to be something that's thrown out.
Something gets donated or is thrown out. That's right.
But I'm here to tell you, if you haven't used it or worn it in 5 years, you don't need it.
Amen.
You don't need it. It's just, and this time of year, I work from home in the wintertime, so it's been a blessing that way, but I can't take clutter anymore. It just makes me nuts.
If you haven't used it or worn it in 5 years, throw it out.
Yep, I am 100% a Bob fan, because it is so freeing to look at and know that you don't have all that stuff underfoot anymore. It's awesome.
I was so jealous of my friend Jeff when he moved from his house to Southern California. They actually rented a dumpster, And he spent like a week throwing crap away. Yeah. And I said, what was that like? And he said, it was fantastic.
I remember you being so like, you had a dumpster thing for a while there where you were threatening to rent a dumpster.
Oh, yeah. I had to go mano a mano with my wife. She was having none of that whatsoever. I detect a Maine accent. What part of Maine are you from, Liz?
I am from a small town about an hour north of Bangor, Brownville. I have met you both several times. We went on the Alaska cruise with you.
Oh, no kidding.
Yep. I miss the chat room format. I always wanted you to do a chat room about how have Bob and Sherry made my life better, or what have I done in my life because of influence from Bob and Sherry. And I'll be honest with you, I bought my very first computer because of you guys.
Oh my gosh, get out of here, for real.
And our accountant had been after me to do it, but honest to God, Sherry, you want to know the true reason I did it? I wanted to see pictures of your second wedding.
Well, listen, don't worry about missing that. There's always another one on the horizon.
Hey Liz, talking about things that were thrown out.
Liz, I realized I couldn't stand clutter either, and it just had to go.
Well, she hadn't used it in 5 years.
Oh, you are awesome. Thank you so much for listening and for calling.
We love you guys. I've made many converts.
We need that. And we want you to go and enjoy your empty shelves. And
I'm going to go look at them right now.
Bob's already twitching over there. He's going to go throw, poor Mary, he's going to go throw some stuff
I know.
In a box.
You're listening to the best of Bob and Sherry.
Morons, and the news is sponsored by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Let's do it.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Get these morons off the air.
With morons in the news.
A social media user in Belgium, the country of Belgium, decided that he would teach his family a lesson about the importance of staying in touch with each other by faking his own death, according to the Times newspaper of Belgium. David Barton, who is 45 years old, reportedly roped his wife and kids into the ruse, so they knew about what he was going to do. One of his daughters posted online about her heartbreak at her father's passing. As his wider family came together at his so-called funeral, they had a whole funeral set up. They had a coffin, the whole thing. At his funeral to pay their respects, Mr. Barton made a dramatic arrival in a helicopter along with the camera crew and set about comforting his distraught loved ones. Quote, "What I see in my family often hurts me. I never get invited to anything from you people. Nobody sees me. We all grew apart. I felt unappreciated. And that's why I wanted to give them a life lesson and show them that you shouldn't wait until someone is dead to meet up with them." He also said that only half of his extended family bothered to turn up for his funeral. What a jackass. To do that to people.
This
to ruin
so
their day. To give them sadness. Oh, my word.
This is so horrible. This is so disordered and horrible.
It's, you know what? It's also social media. To a certain degree, it's social media. This guy wanted to have likes.
I get feeling sad because you don't get enough time or attention from your family, but to traumatize them like this, I would never, how do you ever trust this guy again?
I know, you can't.
Well, I hope he got lots of clicks and likes, and I hope he can translate those clicks and likes into, I don't know what you think you're going to translate them into.
I know, I don't get it.
Like narcissist much?
Beyond belief.
It's so twisted. Let's go to today's moron of the day. This is a 28-year-old woman in Huntville, Louisiana, who used a fake passport and a fake birth certificate to go to high school. She posed as a 17-year-old student. Now, her reasons for it were good. Her judgment is bad.
Her reasons were good.
What were
her name? Her name is Martha Jacinia Gutierrez Serrano, and she wanted to learn English. And she just believed so much in the American school system.
Yeah.
What's a better place to learn English than by going to high school? She said, I wanted to learn it. I wanted to be proficient. And even the sheriff of Hinesville, Louisiana said, yes, the falsification of government documents is illegal, and that was bad judgment. But she had no nefarious agenda.
Yeah, yeah.
Sheriff Champagne, and if you're going to be a sheriff, you should be Sheriff Champagne of Hinesville, Louisiana. Sheriff Champagne said that we talked to her about enrolling in an ESL or a GED program, that's a much better option than falsifying records.
Then he
said that she didn't participate in extracurricular activities and there were no disciplinary issues. She just went to school every day. And the only reason they found out about it is they got an anonymous tip that a 17-year-old student at Hinesville High School might actually be a woman in her 30s. And so they had to investigate it, and that's how they found her. So she was going to class every day, doing her homework, being a good student, under completely false pretenses. Yeah. And she's been charged with one count of injuring public records.
Are they going to let her off from, like, jail time or anything like that?
I don't think she's going to go to jail. The sheriff has been very compassionate.
Yeah. Well, he's Sheriff Champagne, you know?
Yes.
Hey, wouldn't you hate to run against Sheriff Champagne?
Oh my God, you talk
about name recall. It's unbelievable. Or the ads you could have when crime bubbles up. It's Sheriff Champagne.
Do you think she's bragging to people? Hey, I pulled off being a 17-year-old and looked it.
Yeah, moisturized. That's what happens, yeah.
My favorite part about Sheriff Champagne is his first name. I think it's so perfect that his first name is Greg. He's Greg Champagne, which sounds like a porn name.
It does. It totally does.
Oh.
Or a Vegas entertainer in the 70s.
Oh, are you Greg Champagne? So... no harm done, but she did break the law. She's going to be being prosecuted on that one count of the public records thing. But even Greg Champagne was like, hey, she wanted to go to school. I wish everybody did.
Yeah.
That is Morons in the News. Keep it here for the People's Movie Critic. It's Bob and Sherry.
She's done it again. Sherry Lynch named one of the most influential women in radio. It's Bob and Sherry. Sherry.
I have never... once solved a Rubik's Cube. Have any of you solved a Rubik's Cube?
No.
Max,
and I can't stand it when online I see like a 6-year-old who can do it in 12 seconds.
I've never been able to solve one. I've tried. Never. There's a 21-year-old guy. He's a California guy. His name is Max Park. He just set the Guinness Book of World Records. He solved the Rubik's Cube in 3.13 seconds.
Good God. Are you kidding me?
If that name sounds familiar, he was featured in that Netflix show Cubers, which came out in 2020, the Speed Cubers.
Right.
He's kind of famous for his Rubik's Cube skill, but he solved a Rubik's Cube in 3.13 seconds.
It seems like it would be an impossible feat. Why is this guy not working for NASA or something? He's 21 years old. He needs to work for NASA eventually.
Yeah. You can find him on Instagram. This is not his first Guinness Book of World Record. He also has the fastest time to solve a Rubik's Cube with one hand, which I just don't even...
How do you do that?
How do you do it?
3.13 seconds... If you gave me a Rubik's Cube and put me in a windowless room with food and water and gave me 100 years, I'm not sure I could solve it in that. I don't even understand how to solve it. Be honest, do you? No. Seriously.
Yeah, I got that down. Yeah.
It's Bob and Sherry.
It's the best Bob and Sherry.
The best.
You guys kill me. I love you, Bob and Sherry.
Oh, thank you so much.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.
The People's Movie Critics Review is sponsored by Dr. Marty's. DrMartyPets.com/Bob.
Oh, this is so exciting. It's time now for the People's Shopper, the man who sees it on TV and tests it out before you spend your hard-earned money. People's Shopper, what are we looking at today?
Today is the coconut charcoal teeth whitening powder.
Hold on. Woo! Gotta recover. By the way, Sherry just showed me the picture of you trying it. Oh, man, yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah. Now, listen, for those of you who don't really feel that that instant smile, one-size-fits-all smile improvement system that's at Walmart is not an option for you, this might be the better answer. It's a teeth whitening system using activated coconut charcoal powder. Now, this is actually not new. I did a little research. It's been around for years, and I guess it gets reintroduced to the public every few years. But when you open up the package, this is a very, very fine black powder. And you have to be really careful because it'll get all over everything. And the correct way to use this is to dampen a soft toothbrush, dip it into the powder, and then lightly brush your teeth. And after a few minutes, you rinse your mouth out until you're spitting out clear water. And you do this for a few days, and you should have noticeably whiter teeth. Now, I'll tell you what you do have. You got a huge dang mess on your hands. First off, if you have a Sonicare toothbrush that you paid good money for gosh sakes, don't stick it in this black demon dust, because you got to get a toothbrush that you don't mind throwing away because it clings to it, man. Uh-huh. I mean, it turns the... And like I say, I've got pictures of all of this stuff. And once you start brushing your teeth, be prepared for what you see in the mirror, because your teeth are blacker than crude oil, and when you spit in the sink, it looks horrendous. It is so freaky to be spitting black into the sink. And as far as rinsing your mouth out, it takes a while to get all this black stuff out. Yeah. Then you have to clean the sink that's black. And like I say, we've got pictures, and it's horrible. Now, when all that's done, you feel like you actually have to brush your teeth with regular toothpaste so that your mouth feels clean. Because, in fact, most of the research I did recommends that you do use your regular toothpaste after this. So when I look at my teeth, I think they may actually be whiter, or the fact that they were black as the ace of spades while I was brushing makes them look whiter in comparison. It's hard to tell. I don't know. But I actually did some research to see if dentists agreed that this does work. Well, they do actually, but they warn you that you should not do this more than once every 2 weeks, because the charcoal is so abrasive, it can actually remove the enamel and cause damage. But occasional use does whiten your teeth, every couple of weeks. But as far as the taste goes, there really isn't a taste. And as far as the coconut part goes, I didn't find anything resembling coconuts. I'm thinking maybe they just burned up a bunch of coconut shells to get the charcoal. I'm not really sure.
This is one of those products that, you know, you can't really tell one way or the other, right?
Yes.
It's like hair thickening products. They've never been approved.
So you couldn't even like show your teeth to Carla. And I know she's starting to avoid you now, People Shopper. but you couldn't show your teeth to Carla after a few days of brushing with the black demon dust, as you called it?
She couldn't really. It's not an appreciable difference. And the question is, does it work? Well, it probably does, but you got to be careful about the abrasion. The instructions on my box said to do it daily. Well, in about 3 weeks, I won't have nothing but nubs. So, I mean, it's not really going to matter.
Why would they say that? That's awful.
I don't know. And listen, even if you could do it every day, I can't see myself doing it every day, because every time you take the lid off the stuff, there's a chance of knocking it on the floor. And if that happens, I honestly believe it'd be easier to get rid of a dead body than to clean this stuff up out of the bathroom floor.
You know what you should do? You should take like a small pail and go out in the woods and do it. You know, just go out in the woods and start brushing and spitting.
Now,
listen, when I spent the night with my grandma when I was young, we went out in the woods, but it wasn't to brush her teeth. I go ahead and tell you that.
People's shopper. Now, I've read that there are a lot of really powerful health benefits to putting coconut oil in your mouth. I feel like you're getting a twofer here with the charcoal and the coconut.
Well, and listen, that activated charcoal, if your wife or husband is trying to poison you, if you'll take a little bit of this active charcoal, it sucks up that poison. So I think as a preventative, if you feel like something's going on, you know what I'm saying?
Activated charcoal has been sold to us for doing various things for a long time.
But it's
like
true.
Like there was a cigarette, I forget, Terryton, I think was the name of it.
That was yes.
Was that it?
Yes,
and it had a little tiny piece of charcoal. What was it? Was it supposed to not give you lung cancer? Or what was it supposed to do? Maybe not stain your teeth from tobacco stains? This has been a con job for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, so is just a lot of trouble. It's a lot of trouble.
A lot of trouble,
now.
Okay.
But the fact that I do think it probably works, the claims are probably correct, I'm going to give it 3 Budweisers.
That's not bad. And are you going to keep...
No.
The pictures that you sent me were really exciting. Yeah. Are you going to keep using it? It looks like it does make a mess in the sink.
It does make a mess in the sink. It makes a mess. And I'm just not sure I'm up for all that.
Well, let's at least let our listeners see him giving it a shot.
Can we post the pictures of Lamar
with the charcoal coconut teeth whitening product?
Make sure you put a picture of the Sonicare toothbrush, because let me go ahead and tell you something. I'm a little ticked off about that.
Hey, Bob, Terryton still has the activated charcoal filter in their cigarettes.
There's still a Terryton cigarette?
Yes, they're made by R.J. Reynolds.
People still care about quality. I like to hear
that.
There
you go.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
All right. Lamar, thank you. That was excellent. I think we all now have a good idea of what this product is all about.
People shopper, nice work. It is Bob and Sherry.
Leave us a talk back with the free Bob and Sherry app.
We're teaming up with Visit Florida to salute teachers during the school year. Nominate a teacher at bobandsherry.com, and they could be headed to Margaritaville Beach Resort in Fort Myers Beach this summer.
So I came into the house, and for some reason, don't ask me why, I put my cell phone in the pantry rather than in the area that I usually put it. I don't know why. I have absolutely no why. I'm looking for the thing. Oh, I've lost it. It's gone, Mary. It's going to cost me $1,200. And she dialed it, and of course, it was in the pantry. I was drawn to this post that I saw.
Why do you react this way?
I don't know.
You could have looked at...
I'm working on it.
You could have gone on your iPad and clicked find my iPhone.
I know.
Or you could have called
that thing
it
set up that way.
Why you make yourself so stressed out?
You're stressing me out even more, telling me that I stress myself out. So let's just drop it, can we? These are moments people have posted where they realized they were not at their sharpest. So I'm just going to read them. That's an example of me, not at my sharpest. This one is from Cheesy Breezy. I'm from the South, and I dated a girl when I was younger, first time meeting her mom. In a heavy New York accent, she asked me, "You like dogs?" And I said, "No, thanks. I'm not hungry." It took me a while to realize they had 2 giant pets. They were not hot dogs.
What would your, hopefully you'd have a sense of humor and laugh. But you know, there are those people that would be offended by that. You know what? She's not welcome in our home. She's a dog eater.
She needs dogs.
There are people. Yeah.
I know. This is from, I can't even pronounce, Kill Menowitz. When somebody told me they had the same name as me, I said, "Really? What's your name?"
Well,
this is from Samiki. This time I was asked to ref a football match and was going to flip a coin to decide which team would start. You know, I asked for a rep from each team, asked the first guy whether he was picking heads or tails. He picked heads. And then I asked the other guy what he was going to pick. BlazeBot said, I said this out loud. Wouldn't it be crazy if Halloween fell on Friday the 13th? It would be crazy. Yeah, it definitely would.
It would.
Yeah. Cinepeer says, I was in my late 30s before I realized You can raise the lever on the toaster to lift the toast out and easily grip it instead of playing Operation with your fingers and the toaster slots.
Wait, you can do that?
Yes, you can. Of course you can. You don't.
What?
Oh, no. You don't do that. I guess it depends on the toaster, but yeah.
The toaster, the toaster pops up and it's enough popped up where you can just grab it.
This person is saying if you think, oh, this is done enough, rather than using the tab to push it up, they would go in there with their fingers or with a fork or something like that. We're spending too much time on the toast thing. I'm going to move along.
That's good. You know what? It's a sign of your many years of broadcasting experience. You're using your judgment and your discernment.
You. Yeah, I know.
There's like that little voice inside your head that goes, right. Bob, are you, mm-hmm. is the show too focused on toast? Right. Is it perhaps time to nudge the show along away from toast?
Well, Sherry, it's all a part of being in show business.
I want people to see the depth of your skill so that they can appreciate what kind of skill you
Let's move
bring.
Along from talking about this too long, too, if we could.
What the hell was I doing?
Oh, yeah. Right, right.
Which you ordinarily love.
Ordinarily. These are moments when people are not their sharpest. This person said, I'm consistent, just not all the time. And it had to be pointed out that perhaps that is a very strange thing to say. I love this one. This is from Moonraker. I was out clothes shopping when I spotted someone I recognized. We made eye contact and smiled at each other immediately. And then I realized I was walking toward a full-length mirror. Let's see. This next person says, my boyfriend was weighing our suitcases the night before a flight. He did the classic step on the scale and then step on the scale with a suitcase and then do the math, right? One of the bags was a couple of pounds over the limit. So I reassured him that by the morning, he would have lost a little bit of weight, which would help us get back under the limit. Doesn't quite work that way.
Confused.
He was on the scale. And then he looked at his weight. And then he picked up the suitcase. And there was a difference, a few pounds. And his girlfriend said, don't worry about it. You're going to lose weight overnight. It'll be fine. We'll be under. Get it?
Yep, I do.
Sherry?
I don't.
You don't get
keep
that.
Moving. No. But, the toast and your discernment and your broadcast experience, this might be one of those things.
Losing weight overnight. The bag weighs what the bag weighs. He was just using his... No, never mind. You're right.
Sherry, there's a lever. You lift the toast. You don't have to put your fingers in the toast.
You don't. Yeah, let's not go back there again. As a matter of fact, let's never do a bit like this again. Shall we agree right now? Because I'm totally confused and I was driving it. It's Bob and Sherry.
It's the best Bob and Sherry.
The best.
You guys kill me. I love you, Bob and Sherry.
Oh, thank you so much.
Everyone Needs a Laugh is sponsored by Easy Cater. Easy Cater has everything you need to make food for work work.
It's time for your classic clip edition of Everyone Needs a Laugh. And this one is back when the comedian John Mulaney, who's a huge star now, was just a staff writer for Saturday Night Live. And he was starting out as a stand-up and nobody knew his name. Here it is.
Hi, how are you? Hello, nice to meet you. My name is John Mulaney. I hope you're doing well. I'm doing very well myself. I am about to be 30 years old, which is very exciting. But I was hoping that by now, thank you. I was hoping that by now I would look older. And I don't. I don't look older at all. I just look worse. That's what's happened. Like when I'm on the street now, nobody's ever like, hey, look at that man. They're just like, whoa, that tall child looks terrible. Get some rest, tall child. You can't keep burning the candle at both ends. I have a girlfriend now. And she's a woman, and she's great, and I love her very much, and our relationship is going well. So a few months ago, she said that it was time for her to meet my parents, because that is what people do when a relationship is going well. They meet each other's parents, and I have never understood that. I've never been with my girlfriend and thought, oh, babe, tonight is going great,
But do you know what would make it perfect? Charles and Ellen Mulaney. Yeah, let's get them in the mix. We've been going pretty hot and heavy lately. I think it's time we bring in two older Catholic people. I live in New York City. It's a great place. And I was coming home the other night. I want to tell you about this. I was coming home, and in front of my building, on the street, I saw a wheelchair knocked over on its side with no one in it. That is such a bad thing to see. Something happened there. You hope it was a miracle. But probably not. Probably something worse than a miracle. New York is very safe, though. It's a very safe city because on most streets, they're filming Law & Order Special Victims Unit. They're always doing that. That's my favorite show on television. I love Law & Order SVU because on SVU, you can say the grossest, sickest things you've ever heard in your life. You can say anything on SVU. No, you can't say the F word, but people walk around on that show going like, looks like the victim has contusions. Looks like we found and matter in the victim's ear canal. Those are two real things that I heard on Law & Order Special Victims Unit at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Both spoken by Ice-T. Ice-T is a detective with the Special Victims Unit. He handles New York's most sensitive cases. I love Ice-T on SVU. He's awesome. And what I especially love about him is that he's been with the SVU, about 11 years now, but he still treats every case like it's his first in terms of total confusion. Like, they will be in the middle of an investigation, and Ice-T will just be like, yo, you telling me this dude gets off on little girls with pigtails? I'm like, yeah, Ice. He's a pedophile. You work in the sex crimes division. You're gonna have to get used to that. Oh, there was this one episode recently where the episode was about sex addiction. So they were talking about sex addicts. And there was a scene where the other detectives are trying to teach Ice-T what sex addiction is. And it takes a couple of minutes. And finally, Ice-T gets it, and they cut to him in this close-up. And he goes, oh, I get it. You mean like when someone drinks too much? Or snorts cocaine? Or bets the house on the ponies? And I was like, yeah, man, you got it. And I was psyched that Ice-T understood and that they could move on with the investigation. But I could have watched another 4 hours of him just naming examples. Just that shot of Ice-T. And him like, or like when someone smokes too many cigarettes. Or like when someone shops too much with credit cards. Or like when someone plays too many scratchy lotteries. Or like when someone eats too much chocolate cake. Or like when someone eats too much chocolate cake and then barfs it up. And he would just keep talking and it would slowly fade out and say executive producer Dick Wolf. That'd be my ideal episode. Thank you very much.
That's great.
John Mulaney right there. It's Bob and Sherry.
She's done it again. Sherry Lynch named one of the most influential women in radio. It's Bob and Sherry. Sherry.
I have the greatest example of the housing market in the Los Angeles area run amok that you could ever imagine. Mm-hmm. Now, housing in LA is really expensive. If you want to live in an actual house, you're going to have about a 2.5 hour commute. No joke. Like, there are people who live out in like the Antelope Valley and spend 4 to 5 hours a day getting to and from work in LA just so mm-hmm. they can have a house. Or you can live in a walk-in closet a little closer to town. Or if you have $250,000, you can buy this one bedroom, one bathroom fixer upper that's basically a troll apartment. It's right on top of a bridge. There's just a fence separating you from the bridge. And at $250,000, it's a steal because the median sale price for a single family house in Southern California is $785,000. Oh.
Wow. That is so disappointing, you know, because those of us who never grew up there,
kind of in the back of our heads, many of us thought, you know, someday I'd like to live at least for a while in Southern California. And look what it's become. It's like, well, I mean, San Francisco was the same way, you know, decades ago, just so expensive. People had to commute from like Sacramento.
The agent who's listing this one bedroom, one bath troll apartment says it's very unique. We have nothing to compare it to. Now, the typical one-bedroom home in this neighborhood costs $350,000, so it's $100,000 below the price. It's a fixer-upper, and there's no dedicated parking space. Now, there's one slight problem. While you own the land under your little troll house, the bridge is public, so you'll be living in a bridge like a troll, but for $100,000 less than everywhere else in town. And that's, I predict someone buys this, fixes it up, and lives in it. This is not going to sit on the market. It's Bob and Sherry.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
Max was telling us something he read about Billy Joel and the women who inspired some of Billy Joel's biggest songs. And I was so shocked. I was so shocked. I mean, I kind of knew that he was married to Christy Brinkley and, you know, he's dated a lot. But Max, you got to break it down.
So his first wife was Elizabeth Weber, who he had an affair with while she was married to another member of his band in 1970 before he ever had any big hits.
Wow.
So when the affair was discovered, she disappeared from both their lives. Then he decided to try to commit suicide. Because of that, he was in a psychiatric hospital for a period of time.
Wow.
She came back into his life and said, look, I'll manage you. And he said, okay. And so she built a contract where she not only got 50% of everything he made as his wife, but she also got all the money she got as a manager, and he couldn't touch any of that money.
What?
Yeah. So
that's worse than Colonel Tom Parker's deal with Elvis, which was terrible for Elvis.
So then she got her brother involved, and he ended up pilfering money. I'll get to that in a minute. This is one of the first songs that he wrote for his wife, Elizabeth Weber.
She's got a way about her.
Remember this song?
Yes.
I don't know what it is.
I know what it is.
But I know that I can't live without her. She's got a way.
So knowing this about her, on her birthday, he wrote her this beautiful love song, a song that Paul McCartney said he wished he had written.
I don't want clever conversation. Never want to work that hard. I just want someone that I can talk to. I want you just the way you are.
So he plays this for her. And what does she say? If you're a woman and a man has written a song this beautiful for you, what are you going to say? Well, what any red-blooded American woman would say, do I get a back end on the publishing? That is what she said to him. Plus, she wanted to try to see if she could get a cut of these songs that she inspired by being the muse for these songs as well.
Wow.
His band,
by the way, I read something about him. I've never been a big Billy Joel fan, but I realize he has tremendous gifts. His band hated that, to have to play that song out of all of his songs when they were on the road. They just felt they were playing at a wedding.
So he had a motorcycle accident around the time they were breaking up, and it damaged his hand. So he is in the hospital. She comes with a new contract and says, look, I'll come back, be your wife. I'll stay with you, but I want you to sign this contract. And the contract was she gets 100% of everything.
What?
100%.
She gets 100% of everything. And when he realized what was happening, he sent her packing for good. And so that was the end of his wife, Elizabeth. Now,
I have got to see what she looks like. I have absolutely no idea. I'm going to look her up and see what she looks like.
Okay. So he goes down to St. Bart's for a vacation after his divorce, and he's playing the piano in the bar, and he is Billy Joel at this point. And there are three women who are also in St. Bart's who all throw themselves at him. Mm-hmm. The first one is a woman who became a pop star later but was not very famous yet, and her name was Whitney Houston.
Whoa.
The wow. next was a supermodel by the name of Christy Brinkley, who was 28 at the time. Billy Joel was 33. The third was another supermodel by the name of Elle McPherson, who was 19 at the time. Yes.
Three: Elle McPherson, Christy Brinkley, and Whitney Houston all hitting on him at the same time.
Right. Okay.
Wow.
And so this is a song that he wrote. He ended up dating Elle McPherson, and this is the song he wrote for her.
I spoke to you in cautious tones. You answered me with no pretense. And still I feel I said too much. My silence is my self-defense. Every time I've held a rose, it seems I only felt the thorns. And so it goes, and so it goes, and so will you soon, I suppose. So
we're gonna
this
have
is
to.
For Elle McPherson? For wow, Elle McPherson. Let's break and come back. Who knew that Billy
and
Joel?
I'm gonna. I'll
so
do a little tease
drama.
On this. He wrote another song for Elle McPherson that you assume was written for someone else, and that's coming up.
I just pulled up the picture of Elizabeth Ann Weber, his first wife, I guess, and she's a very attractive person. She has a look in her face that says, "I'm all business." There's just something about
yes,
it.
She was.
Yeah, she
definitely was.
That's right.
All right, more of this hot smoking Billy Joel tea next. It's Bob and Sherry.
She's done it again. Sherry Lynch named one of the most influential women in radio. It's Bob and Sherry. Sherry.
We're talking about Billy Joel in the last couple of segments of the show. And he's still alive. Let me say, you have to say that these days. He's very much alive.
He's
he
touring.
Is not passed.
He's touring.
He's touring. That's right. He's back out on the road. And I guess his Broadway play, he had a Broadway play called Moving Out that started in, I think it was 2002 and ran for many seasons. And I always thought that that's where his music belonged, was on Broadway. He just seemed like a Broadway composer more than a rock composer, despite the fact that he had all these big pop hits. But I think it was just, you just think of his songs and they're perfect for a Broadway play. The play was about a kid in Long Island that was trying to get out of a tough neighborhood. Anyway, back to you guys. Tell us more about Billy Joel.
So Billy Joel is dating supermodels now, Elle McPherson, and she was the inspiration, and not Christy Brinkley, for this song.
Wait a minute.
Uh-huh.
Everybody thinks this is Christy Brinkley.
She was in the
video.
Well,
she was in the video.
But
she was
this-
famously in the video where he was a mechanic. And the song is basically a tribute to the Four Seasons. And she played the uptown girl with the long legs in the hot car. So, I thought it was about her, too.
Billy Joel had this to say upon seeing a paparazzi picture of him and Elle McPherson. I look like Bubbles the chimp next to her.
That is so interesting. I had no idea.
So,
what a funny thing to say, though. I mean, honestly.
Yeah. So he ended up hooking up with Christy Brinkley, his wife number two, and he wrote this song for her. Oh, and can I just tell you something? Before he broke up with Elle McPherson, somehow there was a moment, and this is backed up by the actor Nick Turturro, who you've seen in a bunch of stuff, including NYPD Blue and all kinds. He was the doorman at Billy Joel's hotel when this happened, but Elle McPherson and Christy Brinkley showed up the same night. Oops.
Wow.
He wrote this song for Kirstie Brinkley.
This is the time to remember, cause it will not last forever. These are the days to hold on to, cause we won't all we'll want to. This is the time.
It's an interesting love song, isn't it?
Well, I mean, if I'm her and I'm hearing this is the time to remember because it will not last forever, that doesn't sound like a guy with a long-term marriage in mind, does it?
And he also wrote this song for Kirstie Brinkley.
You're only protecting yourself. I know you're thinking of somebody else. Someone who hurt you, but I'm not above making up for the love you've been denying you could ever feel.
Wow.
I'm not above doing anything.
How many children did they have together?
So they, they only had one. And so
just the one girl?
The marriage Sailor. With Kirstie Brinkley. Yeah.
No, that's the other one.
That's the next one.
Alexa Ray.
Yeah. Alexa Ray was the one he had with her. They think that this marriage broke up because of the bad business decisions he made with his first wife and her brother. He had to sue his ex-brother-in-law for $60 million to get the money back. In order to fight that, and because he had no money, he had to go out on tour. And it's thought that that's what ended up breaking up his marriage to Kirstie Brinkley, because they were apart so much.
The amount of people who are so talented who have had money stolen from them in the music business—it's
like the Elvis story again.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It really is.
And that's it.
I'm not above. That's an amazing.
I tell you what, out of all his relationships, I think his best relationship was with Elton John, who took him aside and said, I used to get drunk all the time, and it wasn't good for me. I stopped completely, and I think, my friend, you need to do the same thing. Because they were on the road together with the Piano Man tour, and he talked Billy Joel into watching the sauce.
So he's gotten married twice since then. I have no songs from them, but the most recent wife was an ex-hedge fund manager that he married in 2015.
Like strong women,
you know what? You have to say about Billy Joel, he's made of Teflon. Because if ever a man has earned the right to refuse to hook up again, it's this one.
Seriously. Yeah, that's right.
And he's
that's
like, right. I love love. It's Bob and Sherry.
You're listening to the best of Bob and Sherry.
Can you believe this is sponsored by Progressive Insurance? Bundle home and auto and save. Visit progressive.com.
You read it once.
I don't believe that.
And then you read it again.
I can't believe this.
It's Bob and Sherry's.
I don't believe this.
I'm going to take you now to the strangest and most unlikely amusement park in the whole world. It's in Denmark, about 45 minutes away from Copenhagen. And it all began really back in the 80s when a candy factory in this little town outside of Copenhagen started producing candy with really disgusting names like seagull droppings, large poops, pee diapers, and earwax. Remember the 90s Garbage Pail Kids phenomenon?
I do.
Like there was
That's
a
what
whole,
I was thinking of. Yeah.
Yeah, like there was a whole disgusting wave of stuff for kids. So right. This Danish candy factory that had been in the business of making candy had a smash, like out of the park hit with these gross candy names. And it became so popular in Denmark that children began making requests to visit the factory. And of course they were turned down because Denmark has super strict hygiene and safety laws, right? But after enough of these requests and all kinds of publicity came through, the owner of Bon Bon Candy, his name is Michael Spang, said, wait a minute, maybe there is a way to let these kids visit the factory. And that's when he opened the Bon Bon Land theme park, which eventually grew to have dozens and dozens of rides and characters with like naughty names that matched the candy. So when he first opened Bon Bon Land, you could go on a little duck boat ride in a pond and there was a movie theater and a little candy factory you could tour and a store. But it exploded because the people loved it. And today, Bon Bon Land is a 32-acre carnival of absolutely gross and shocking attractions.
Really?
And it's very, like, I don't think it would fly
like
here, but
like
it's super, well, I'm going to tell you, it's super family friendly and really popular in Denmark. Mm-hmm. As you wander through Bon Bon Land, you'll find a giant sewer rat who, they've got it set up so he's always projectile vomiting. Seagulls dropping a payload into alligator mouths. And mm-hmm. cows with enormous bosoms, plus mm-hmm. other animals that are in mid excrement. Okay, roller coasters.
Good Lord, are you kidding?
I warned you that I was taking you to the world's strangest and grossest theme park. Did I not? What is the big attraction at Bon Bon Land? It's a roller coaster in the dead center of the park. Now, it's not the world's fastest roller coaster or the world's scariest roller coaster. Its name is the Hundepruderutschenbachbein, which translates right. in English to the dog fart switchback. And here's how it is. Riders are soaring and rumbling over mounds of fake dog excrement while speakers boom giant amplified dog passing gas noises. And there's a huge dog lifting his leg. His name is Henry, and he's the mascot of the park.
I think that this is genius. If you've ever raised a boy or been around a lot of boys who are, say, between the ages of 10 and 12, I'll focus on, boys would love this. This would be endlessly entertaining and hysterical. And for a 10 or an 11-year-old boy to go with a couple of his buddies to this park would be a day of bliss.
Oh my God, you've got it. Don't you know it? And there are other roller coasters that are a little scarier, like the Tomcat and the Wild Boar. The Wild Boar was voted the best roller coaster in Denmark. And massive G-forces over 45 miles an hour. You can also ride the Worm, Seagull Blobs, Horse Bulbs, and Beaver Rafting. That's right, kids. It's, you can go beaver rafting at Bon Bon Park in Denmark.
I've got to tell you, it is genius. They figured out that 10-year-old boys just love it. The grosser, the better. I'm not saying girls can't embrace it either, but boy, that's in a boy's wheelhouse, that place. Wow. I'm surprised we don't have that in the United States by now, to be honest with you.
When you see some of the attractions, and I'll post a link to this up on the Bob and Sherry Facebook. When you see some of the attractions, like the dog who's lifting his leg and struggling with gas at the roller coaster, it's crazy. And it all started as a little candy factory the kids wanted to visit. So if you happen to be heading to Denmark this summer, and I can't imagine there's more than maybe two or three people listening that are, make sure you visit Bon Bon Land. It's an easy 45-minute drive. It's Bob and Sherry.
It's the stuff we wouldn't, couldn't, shouldn't do on the regular show. The Oddcast. Oddcast on the free Bob and Sherry app.
Is this the real life? Is this just fantasy? Caught in a landslide. No escape from reality.
Did you know that Freddie Mercury started working on this song in 1968 when he was a college student?
Is that right?
And the first line that he ever wrote was, "Mama just killed a man." And he felt like that was a real Wild West sort of vibe. Mm-hmm. So he called it the cowboy song.
Is that right?
That's where he thought that it was going to go.
Yeah,
And then eventually it kind of took the shape that it did, the shape that we know. He wanted to call it Mongolian Rhapsody, but then he crossed out, we have a copy of his handwritten lyrics, he crossed out the word Mongolian, and he put in Bohemian. And mm-hmm. here's the thing, back in 1975, state of the art recording in a studio meant using a 24-track analog tape. So the harmonies on the opera section of this song, which were all sung by Freddie Mercury and Roger Taylor and Brian May, called for 180 separate overdubs. And they ran the tape over the recording head so many times that the tape was almost see-through. It took 3 weeks just to get that section. And that's because the producer said Freddie Mercury kept adding more Galileos. And it was driving them crazy. Five recording studios were involved in getting that section made. He was so particular about how he wanted that to be. Elton John was like, dude, are you out of your mind? That song is so weird. No one's ever going to play it on the radio. Listen, this is the part. Thunderbolts and lightning, very, very
frightening me. Galileo, Galileo,
Galileo Figaro. Magnifico.
Five recording studios and 180 overdubs. For Bohemian
Well, you know,
Rhapsody.
He was right, but so was Elton John. That does not sound like a song that a music director of a radio station would have added back then.
Nope. It's Bob and Sherry.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.
Bob and Sherry books, swag, and the mother of all mothers merch. Just hit shop at bobandsherry.com.
Are you a fast eater, Bob?
Yes, I am.
Would describe yourself as a fast eater?
I've been told that by other people, so I know I am, yeah.
How about you, Max? Are you a fast eater?
I'm a fast eater, and in fact, I ate once with Jim Lozoki at lunch, and he finished before I did, and nobody finishes before I do.
God, mm-hmm. Jim's like a beagle.
And Jim doesn't, and you know, Jim's not the kind of guy he's not like stuffing it in his face. He does it with such stealth, and I look down, his food's gone. I go, how did you eat that fast?
No, I'm not one of those guys, and everybody has a relative. It's usually an uncle or a grandpa that does not speak. Because food is in front of his face, and he's going to get that done. Like, you had a grandfather who was like that. Wasn't that right?
Yeah, my grandfather would sit at the end of the table at the throne, and we would have Sunday meals, and everybody would eat, and we'd all be socializing, and he would just have his head down eating. And then as soon as he got done, his head would come up, and he'd start talking.
And would he wolf it?
No,
so it
no,
wasn't,
he
okay.
was no, he was a very casual eater. He enjoyed his food,
but he just didn't speak until he was finished.
I wonder if he was poor, maybe from the Depression era, and there was a reverence for food that
and so he really liked to
that, you know you
bask
show respect to the food because it's not something that's secondary.
Well, I was hoping that you would not say you were a fast eater because the news isn't good for people that are fast eaters, and even I. Get tired of bringing you bad news.
What's wrong with this? What could possibly be wrong with eating
people
fast?
That eat really fast are five times more likely to develop this thing called metabolic syndrome. And it's a cluster. Metabolic syndrome is a cluster of things, including high blood sugar, high cholesterol, high blood pressure. It's not good to eat fast. You need to slow down. You need to slow down and treat your food like it's a beautiful woman. And take your time.
I talk I have conversation between bites. I mean, I don't slap on the feedback.
I see you. Now, you do eat like a crazy mofo in the morning, but that's because you're in a hurry to wolf it down.
That's very true. Yeah.
You do eat really fast.
I'm eating, you know, when we're not on mic.
You're eating really fast. And also because you're not allowed in the room because it grosses Max out.
I know.
So you have to eat really fast.
Oh, by the way, the other day, I had leftover lasagna that Mary made, okay? So she put it in a little plastic Tupperware thing.
Uh-huh.
I brought it in here. I zapped it in the microwave at our office, which is, you know, conveniently located in the next state.
You shouldn't microwave your food in plastic. That's really bad. But go ahead.
I don't think I'm going to be here tomorrow.
You shouldn't. Please stop doing that. I know you do it every day. You, it releases chemicals in the plastic.
So I ate a couple of pieces of the lasagna. It tasted very good.
You're
but then I said,
a little peaked.
I better go down because, you know, I have to talk in a couple of minutes and I don't want to be out of the studio. So I took it and I put it right around the corner on like a little table.
Uh-huh.
And I came back and someone had thrown it out. It was gone. It was like somebody came and said, I'm not looking at that lasagna. Who
so
left
your,
that here?
Your Tupperware, your fork,
away.
Everything was gone.
Everything.
Well, they didn't
know. The only
know.
Thing left was the lid, which was on my desk. And there's nothing sadder than a Tupperware lid with no Tupperware.
But they didn't know. They
Why you would were, you throw it out?
They probably thought that someone was just being sloppy and careless and selfish and a pig.
Well, no, I mean, I just wanted to make sure that
you
I
know,
was.
We have two shifts of janitorial staff here that come through our building. And I think one of them probably went through and somebody thought they left it by mistake.
Yeah,
thought they left it by
mistake.
No,
I think it was an executive who came over and said, I am not looking at this.
You know why I think it was intentional is because I won. Now, this was a while ago. This was a while ago, but this actually happened. There was a very, very large, like, creature double feature cockroach that was deceased. And it was lying on its back in the downstairs hallway. And I kept track of how many days that dead creature remained on the floor. And I'm not, for anyone who's going, will you be, why don't you pick it up? I don't do bugs. It's like the thing I don't do. I fix the toilet in that lobby almost every day. I reach into that tank like Rosie the Riveter and I fix that SOB, but I'm not picking up a big, giant dead cockroach. A cockroach so large that it had a face and it was wearing a snazzy outfit. It was huge. It was huge. It had a face. Days went by.
I know.
The fact that people are just walking by and going, oh, look at that giant radioactive dead cockroach. But they threw your breakfast
out. But they threw my breakfast out. I know.
That feels
you know,
on
sometimes
purpose.
People will just walk by stuff. I'm not going to say the name of the restaurant, but I had lunch there yesterday. I'm not going to say the name of it, but it's very popular. And they sell bread at this restaurant.
And there was garbage people were walking by?
Right in front of the drink machine, there's like a giant lemon slice on the floor. And there's all sorts of trash, like straws and all this stuff. And I'm watching the staff, and they're walking right by it. I was there for a half an hour, and nobody reached down and picked it up and said, you know, this looks awful.
Or you could slip on it.
I went over there.
Even. Did you pick it up?
I picked it up. I'm picking up their trash over there.
You know, with that kind of karma, they shouldn't have thrown your lasagna away.
I know.
I apologize to you on behalf
you.
Of everyone in this building.
I think I was a little weaker that day.
And your Tupperware.
Yeah.
Oh, and I bet when you came home and told Mary you lost her Tupperware, she was like, ding dong.
No. Woman does not know.
Should know.
No.
Hey,
doesn't know.
It's the radio.
She might know now. But probably not.
Probably
what are the
not.
Odds?
Yeah, they're
what are
low.
The odds?
They're pretty low.
It's Bob and Sherry.
Sign up for our newsletter. We never spam you.
Never did.
Get Bob and Sherry exclusives. Just go to bobandsherry.com.
You know, sometimes you ought to think before you tell me things. I'm going to be thinking about that thing you told me about. Because I eat fast, I could die.
Don't.
High
can't
cholesterol
you slow down?
And.
Don't. I mean,
yeah,
here's
yeah,
what
going
confuses
to.
Me about you. Well, I mean, here's what confuses me. You love food.
Yeah.
Why are you snarfing it down like a hungry coyote?
I don't know. I just, it's just a rhythm, you know? It's just a rhythm, I guess.
Why not take time to, like, really, like, put it in your mouth and enjoy all of your senses being activated, chew it thoroughly, swallow, like, be in the moment.
I don't have that kind of time.
Why you gotta eat like you're on fire?
Look, here's the deal. We've already talked about when I'm on the air, I have to eat quickly in between music or commercials or whatever, right? So that's a given.
You
and I get a pass on that.
But maybe, instead of trying to eat an entire lasagna in 3 minutes, maybe you could have some lasagna and really enjoy it. And then, you know, talky-talk. And then some more lasagna. And then talky-talk. And so on until you really have taken that lasagna and drained every last morsel of pleasure and satisfaction. And you truly feel satiated. Instead of eating like a starving wild animal that come upon a bowl of kibble.
I don't use my hand. I mean, you know, I eat with a fork and knife. I am somewhat civilized. My brother says when I take him out for like I don't know, pizza or spaghetti or whatever for lunch. He says, you're already done? And I think in my mind, it's like, I got to pick up my brother. He's got to go somewhere. I got to eat lunch. Then I got to get home because the dog has not been walked. Because I know those people, they do not walk the dog. Every time I get home, he always has to go to the bathroom. And I always say, did anybody take him to outside? Everybody says, oh, yes, we took him outside. Well, why is he just dying to go? It's because they didn't take him outside. So I'm thinking in the back of my mind, man, you got to get this done. What you think you're not at like a cafe in Rome.
This is why your cat has chosen you. And I'll tell you why. You know how like she needs you to watch her eat or she won't eat.
Yeah.
But she's like eating as fast as she can. Bless her. She's old. She probably don't even have all her teeth anymore. She's eating as fast as she can. And she's throwing looks over her shoulder to make sure you're still watching.
Yeah.
That's you in the hallway here.
I am like a snaggletooth cat. You know, it is ridiculous. I find myself in the when we're working, standing around with a very hot plate. You know, I have to put like paper under. It's so hot. And I'm looking. I even eat at some people's desks and they don't even know it.
Here's the thing about like your food. Lasagna is delicious. But sometimes when you reheat things in the microwave, they smell weird and it's like gross.
Well, I don't bring like, the microwave into the studio.
Every once in a while, you'll get like some frozen pasta thing, like, I don't know, Lean Cuisine or something. And you'll heat that bad boy up in the microwave. And I don't know how you eat it because it smells like it's just so
don't
gross.
Ruin it for me. No, it's gross. It's good. It doesn't have that many calories. It tastes pretty good.
I'm not even want to say anything because he gets upset if I say
anything. Well, he's been holding a grudge against you forever over some garlicky leftover Chinese food that he's never gotten past.
That was so gross. That was so gross.
It was delicious. I'd like to have it right now.
But do you see how like he holds the plate? Like, you weren't denied food as a child. Why are you like this?
Because I'm not given like a little break to eat.
You have more time than you think. You could go ahead and chew it before you swallow it.
Excuse me. Would you stop telling me that I don't know how to tell time or manage time like that? That's baloney. You know that there's very little time.
But why do you have to eat the whole thing like in that one tiny window?
Hi, everybody. Thanks for joining the Bob and Sherry Show. Bob's not here right now because he's on lunch break. He'll be back in about 30 minutes because he's eating at a leisurely pace.
Chew it and swallow it. I swear to God, some days you're in here swallowing stuff whole like some sort of a...
I know. It's
like
brutal.
Like a pelican just...
It's brutal. No man should live like this.
Okay, everybody. You've got the...
Hi, Salute Radio.
The best of Bob and Sherry.
She's done it again. Sherry Lynch named one of the most influential women in radio. It's Bob and Sherry. Sherry.
I think kids get embarrassed with their fathers dancing right around the age of 13. They get embarrassed with their fathers breathing right around the age of 13. If you've ever had kids, you know that that's true. So what's the age where younger people officially start saying that dad dancing is embarrassing? How old is dad?
39.
37.
Oh.
37. Dad dancing officially starts at the age of 37. I wonder why it does. Do you think at that age you're starting to say, you know, I'm a grown-up man. I don't do these foolish moves anymore. Whereas you're 23, you know, you're letting, you know.
You should never.
Your freak flag fly.
You should never, ever think you're too grown up and mature to dance and be silly.
You know, I hit that point, though.
I know I did.
And I'm a very, very conservative dancer. I just.
And yet you've got some chops.
I don't want to feel silly.
You got some skills.
I just feel if I all of a sudden started soloing, you know.
Don't you want to be the fun guy at the wedding, though?
No.
Don't you want to be the fun guy at the party?
No.
Why don't you want to be the fun guy?
I don't.
What is it you want to be if not the fun guy? What guy do you want to be?
Well, I never want to be the groom again. I can tell you that. As a matter of fact, I'm going to solo, you know, in my tidy whities before I want to do that again. That's because I've finally found someone I love so much.
No, seriously, if you don't want, we all know, when I say the fun guy at the wedding, we all know who that guy
is. I want to be the charming guy. I'm not going to be the guy that gets out there and says, let's get it going now. It's the love train. I don't want to be leading the love train.
Bob wants to be the guy that can give a really great toast.
A really great toast, be charming, look good with a vodka tonic in my hand, and wish the family and the bride and groom the very best of luck.
Good luck to you.
Good luck to you. But, you know, that whole just cutting a rug, I just can't do it. Here are the top five dad dancing songs. I'll give you 5-1. Let's Dance by David Bowie. I've danced to that. I danced to that at Studio 54. Lady in Red, Are You Kidding? By Chris de Burgh.
Well, that's a slow dance. Oh. I mean, you're not soloing to Lady in Red, although if you ever decide to, please call me so I can come watch.
Are you saying I couldn't? Are you saying that I could not solo, could not solo to Lady in Red?
If ever a man could solo to Lady in Red, right. You love that color.
You know, you would have to, I would have to use my arms.
Very flourish, lots of flourishes, yeah.
Because my liquid hips of no value during Lady in Red.
And you're going to have to
mouth. There are some words I never thought I'd say.
You have to mouth the words to the song.
Now, too. Liquid hips coming back into play with Waterloo by ABBA, which is the next one up.
I see you more to Dancing Queen than Waterloo.
How about You Sexy Thing by Hot Chocolate?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know what the number one dad dancing song is? And I heard this song the other day, like in the grocery store or something. And as soon as you hear the song begin, I don't care if you hated disco more than the Nazis. When you hear the opening of Staying Alive by the Bee Gees, you pay attention. Because although there's a cheesiness to that whole thing, that was a great movie. That was
a great
truly great movie.
Too.
And they wrote a great soundtrack, or most of it. Yeah. Staying Alive is a great song. But that's the over...
Bob soloing.
I wish everyone could be in the room with me right now. You know what I like that you're doing right
I'm
now?
I'm telling a story with my arms.
So here's what I like. You are bringing liquid hips in, but you're not letting them dominate.
That's exactly right. It's like I say hips. Hips be subtle. Let the arms have their moment. Oh, this song is such a bummer. Lady.
It's not a bummer. It's a beautiful love song. If Mary asked you to solo with this song at a party, would you do it?
I would dance with Mary.
No, solo.
Soloing at a party in front of her friends?
It's like in your eyes, and you do the eyes and hair. You do her hair.
Give her the soulful stare. Oh, yeah. It's so good. It's so good.
Oh, God.
You know what's sad? I'll tell you what's sad. How many of your
how
talents,
my career has turned out?
How many of your talents?
Yeah.
You've left on the table.
Oh yes. Oh, yes. There I go again.
your interpretive dance game is so strong. you know what? I apologize that I'm selfishly not sharing this with the world.
You know, if for some reason, somehow, I go before you, I want you to tell the, 1,500, 2,000 people who would come to my funeral. The one thing you did not know about Bob was that he was able to interpret dance with his shoulders and fingers. And then you'll look down and see the entire audience cock their head just like a beagle.
Really? And they'll just wish.
Really?
They'll be screaming, why did you never get video?
Yes.
We don't want to break the internet.
Say? No, here's what you would say. Selfishness.
It's true. I get to enjoy it. It's my own private little island. It's Bob and Sherry.
Instant access to the podcast, and fun side. Just download the free Bob and Sherry app.
I am looking at a picture I saw online of a great big sign outside of a Courtyard by Marriott. So it's got the Courtyard by Marriott sign, And right underneath that, they have an electronic billboard, small electronic billboard. And on their electronic billboard for the Courtyard by Marriott, it says, "Have your affair here." I think that is very, very edgy, especially for if it was a mom and pop motel, a no-tell motel, you know, I could see, all right, they're going to be able to do that. But to do that, and you're a corporation, you work for a corporation, that's pretty edgy, don't you think?
It gets your attention, which is what it was supposed to do.
It does. Yep. It really does. I wonder if every town has, every town of a good size, has the one hotel that everybody knows is where affairs take place. When you and I were first together, there was a hotel by the interstate, and it was a pretty nice hotel. It was about, you know, 10 stories high, and it was a chain. And everyone knew that that's where illicit affairs went on. All the private eyes in town would go over there. If they got a client that was worried about a husband or a wife cheating, that's the first place that they would go, just to hang out there to see. Do you know the place I'm talking about?
And the one that you're talking about was also where the swinger parties were.
Oh, is that right? Wow.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Over in your courtyard, if you want to put that one up on your electronic sign. Wow. I didn't realize that.
Get in the swing of summer at Courtyard by Marriott.
Yep.
You know, it must be harder to have an affair and go to a hotel these days because, you know, they're gonna want to see some plastic. It's not like you're gonna spend, you know, $50 for a room cash and make up a phony name. You're pretty much there. It's Bob and Sherry.
Thank you so much for listening to the Bob and Sherry podcast, the Oddcast, and Talking Lamar. We would love it if you would subscribe, rate, and review, and maybe share it with a friend on Facebook, Instagram, wherever you go. And thank you again so much for listening.
Don't pay retail for your diamond engagement ring or gift. Come to cleanorigin.com. Founded by a leading family in the diamond industry for more than a century, we're experts in lab-grown diamonds because that's all we do. Clean Origin, the only diamond jewelers who give you a 100-day, no-questions-asked return on your purchase. Head to cleanorigin.com or one of our retail stores and mention code RADIO10 for 10% off your purchase. That's cleanorigin.com, code RADIO10.